On this episode of The Playbook, I have Jerry Jones Jr., the Executive Vice President and Chief Sales and Marketing Officer of the Dallas Cowboys, and we're going to learn two things. One, nobody understands the stage theory better than the Dallas Cowboys from Jerry Jones down. And secondly, how did Jerry Jones Jr. make me cry during this podcast? Join me for all of this and more on The Playbook.
This is Entrepreneurs The Playbook, where each week I bring you some of the greatest athletes, celebrities, and entrepreneurs to talk about their personal and professional playbook to success and what made them champions on the field and in the boardroom. I'm your host and CEO of Sports One Marketing, David Meltzer.
This is Dave Meltzer with Entrepreneurs The Playbook, and I am so excited. I have the Executive Vice President, the Chief Sales and Marketing Officer of the Dallas Cowboys. Cotton cold here, this is amazing. Jerry Jones Jr.
Well, David, it's great to be here with you today and excited to be sitting here with you.
I'm really excited because I get some great Hall of Famers, great sports figures, men, women, all types of sports. But my heart and soul is in two things. Football, which I played in college. I won't tell you what college. It was the only one that would let me play. And then two, entrepreneurship. Yeah. I believe entrepreneurs are going to save the world. You know, I'm looking at all the climate issues that we have, all the different economic issues, and technology can cure a lot of these a lot faster than even recycling. You know, like literally, you really understand business and the business of sports. An entrepreneur who really within a big organization, I think, led the way of how the internet itself and web marketing is utilized, outdoing the league like 60% higher than anyone else. Even though, you know, I represented Troy Aikman, even though this team hasn't won a Super Bowl in a little while, you're outselling everybody, right? But which is a really important part. Tell me first, how did this evolve? We're here at the formation, it just opened. How did this idea of the formation evolve, and what were you trying to address? Critical business issues when you started it?
Well, David, first, you're kind in your comments on the our fan base and the passion that we are fortunate. We're so fortunate to be a part of the Dallas Cowboys and to have that history and have that tradition. And just to step back a little bit of how we have approached, yes, it's our approach towards formation, but it's really the simple or the fundamentals of the approach that we had back when Dad first bought the team back in 1989, 30 years ago. And his whole thought was he had spent his entire business career from the time he got out of school until he bought the team. And yes, he was into sales and he was into entrepreneurial and he was trying to look for business opportunities, but he was spending a lot of time on the road, knocking on doors, trying to get someone to listen to his ideas. And when the opportunity came to get involved with the Dallas Cowboys, he really believed, yes, when you looked at the P&Ls or you looked at what the business of pro football was, it was not a good business. And all of his advisors, from attorneys to accountants to everybody that was giving advice, said, be careful what you're signing up for. They were losing $1 million a month and being forecast to lose over $25 million a year within the next 5 years. It wasn't a good business. What did he believe in? He believed in association, brand affinity, tapping into that fan base, that history, that tradition, and being a part of the Dallas Cowboys just might change that dynamic and create an uneven playing field to where maybe he doesn't have to go knock on those doors. Maybe somebody will come knock on his door or at least take your phone call and agree to come meet you. And so that has been his fundamental approach on operating the team since 1989. And it really evolved into what we believe is sports sponsorship and sports corporate association. That if you really believe in that, and we do, that a company like Miller Coors or like Pepsi or like Ford, that association they have with our team, they're just, as you mentioned, how we have this great following on our internet pages, you have just that association when Pepsi's trying to move that product and get people excited about it, and that's the cola of the Dallas Cowboys, that's real. And it's fungible to the point that you can really watch what the association is driving. We've lived that way talking to our partners related to sponsorship. We did that approach with our stadium when we built AT&T Stadium, and we really went aggressively on how we wanted to sell that experience. we saw the success we had there. And when we got the opportunity to build what we call the Star, this development out here, which is the home, it's the world headquarters of the Dallas Cowboys. You were doing everything we had learned over this. This was 2013 when we had the opportunity to digest, did we want to move our headquarters up here? And so we had been doing for 25 years almost. How does the Dallas Cowboy brand help you move the needle? And so that's really what you're experiencing up here.
You know, I'm a big energy person when we're talking about your father, who a lot of people didn't realize, and I'm sure they did. I know, I've heard the story a bunch of times, that he literally risked everything into a losing venture. You know, everybody looks at the multi-billion dollar ownership of a team today, and it seems like a sure thing. You know, there's only 32 teams.
Right.
But back then, you know, he has a different perspective when it comes to fear and also support. And I think both of those things are part of all the things that I have seen you guys evolve to with legends and the Dallas Cowboys themselves with coaches. I mean, you're talking about a guy that comes from Arkansas and fires Tom Landry and has to, you know, brand himself as, hey, we are America's team and the Dallas Cowboys. How and what have you learned about how he manages fear, first of all? And then we'll talk about how important the support that he got and now he mentors so many people as well.
Well, you're rightfully calling it fear, but he calls it dancing with the devil. And he said it took the Dallas Cowboys back in 1989 to cause him to take everything that he was about. And I'll never forget, I was in college and he sat down with me and my brother and sister, and of course my mother, and we're sitting there and he goes, you know, if this doesn't work, what I'm about to risk, all of what I've spent my business career growing and putting it all in the, at the old saying, he was going all in. And he said, if it doesn't work, I don't think we'll have to sell the house. Maybe we'll keep the house, but it might be change our lives. What we underestimated the success of it and how that changed our lives. And but it took something like the Dallas Cowboys, and it took something like the brand affinity and passion that you see in the overall NFL fan base and for team affinity and team fan base, that it really allowed you to see and leverage that. What you didn't know at the time was how big, starting in 1989, starting with our economy in general, took off. And then if you look at it from 1989 over the last 30 years, what has happened to sports and what sports means. And really, Roger Goodell says this. Yes, we're a football business, but we really are an entertainment company.
Right.
And so what is our competition? Our competition is not other sports. Our competition is eyeballs wanting entertainment, wanting content. And so we're in the content business. And with technology, as you mentioned earlier, all of what technology and all the things we're now doing on our phone right there at a swipe and a touch and all of that to get access to great content, content is king. And we as the NFL are fortunate that we have the most valuable content arguably anywhere in the world is NFL football.
Especially because it's reality content,
yes.
Right? It's the original reality TV. And especially because of the ubiquity of information today, you have to watch those games in person or real time, or else you're going to find out the score, the plays. Somewhere you're going to see it.
It's
everywhere.
It's digital recorder proof. It's DVR proof.
Yeah,
so you have to watch it live. And then when we do benefit. And the other thing is we benefit in the fact of just how the nature of our game is versus other sports. That there are stops in the game and there are segments of where you can integrate successfully the promotional aspect of it and the advertisement aspect, which is really what drives these TV contracts or these, they're almost no longer TV contracts. They're content contracts. And it's with the technology and the players that we are. I mean, we are here in a couple of years, we'll be having our extensions with how we program and how we have our fans watch the game. And as the technology's changing where it might not be what you think it was back when you and I were growing up.
That's for sure.
It won't be those three or four networks that we're all used to watching. That we're all getting content in a lot of different mediums now.
All right. Now, also the community, you know, from the players who give back to the community to the family that gives back to the community. Mm-hmm. But this entire formation and the star itself really wasn't just for the Cowboys. It seems to me that you're trying to build something much bigger, a community that exists worldwide for the Cowboys because the brand's so strong. But especially here in Dallas, this is something with shopping and hotels. And of course, this could be a hub for those great new companies in the Dallas area.
Absolutely. Well, as you mentioned earlier, and I said that Dad called it Dancing with the Devil, and when he finally realized that the, that decision he made in 89 was going to work, and he said, boy, he looked up and said, I'll never do that again. And of course, then something came along called AT&T Stadium, and that made our family dance with the devil again. And why would you dance with the devil yet another time? We are often asked, what was the biggest challenge of building AT&T Stadium? And that, and to a family member, we will all say it was meeting the expectations of what our fans think the home of the Dallas Cowboys should be. And just as we were 50 feet in the ground, and it was 07 rolling into 08, and we were out selling, and then of course our world sees the greatest recession in the history of our, close to what happened in 1920. Yeah. But it was, and the good news was we had gotten ahead of how we were selling the stadium, and we had a lot of what I'd call contractually obligated income relative to suites and relative to sponsorship, relative to seat options or PSLs, as some teams call them, that we had those contracts locked up, and our entire financing package was done through auction rate securities with people like AmBank. And of course, when that recession hit, those were the first things that locked up. They literally locked up, and our financing was gone. And if not for those contracts and not for a great partner in ours, Bank of America, who stood by us, we were spending over $1 million a day on construction. And you sit there and you had to have a partner. And so Bank of America stood by our side. We weathered the storm and then, of course, got the stadium opened up. And it's something that we all are so proud of. AT&T is proud of it. Our fans are proud of it. And he said, never again. And then lo and behold, a community called Frisco, Texas said, how about y'all move your headquarters over here? We're interested in building a 12,000 seat indoor high school football stadium. Only in Texas is high school football stadium being built, and they had budgeted $90 million to build this indoor stadium. So they gave us a $25 million relocation fee. They gave us $90 million to build their municipal stadium for the high schools. And then they gave us the keys to that. Now today we said it's a $170 million indoor high school football stadium that this community is playing out of, but it's also our practice facility and the home of the Dallas Cowboys relative to how we go about our facilities. To do what we've done, and again, we spent $1.2 billion on AT&T Stadium. As we sit here today, we're over $1.5 billion into this project that we call the Star. We've developed about 66 of the 91 acres, so about two-thirds of this development's been developed, so we're on a good pace to be over $2 billion, more than our stadium. Wow. $2 billion into this project.
Which, by the way, when you built the $2 billion AT&T Stadium, everybody thought that was insane.
Yeah.
That was like when Ballmer bought the Clippers. Right. Everyone thought, what is he doing?
Right.
It takes a certain visionary, you know, like your father. In fact, I remember, you know, my business partner, Warren Moon, after the Seattle loss, the fourth down play that Russell and Coach Carroll, everyone took accountability. I asked him, like, who would you give the ball to? If you had any player in the world, who, you know, was it Jim Brown? Who would you like to have that one chance to score? And he literally said, this will be a big compliment to your dad. He goes, Jerry Jones, because that guy scores anytime he's under pressure. And he literally meant it. He, like, I'm thinking, Jerry Jones, what? But he does, like, every time. It takes a belief, and it also takes an energy to close.
Right.
And knowing your father and knowing you and even your brother, there's this closer attitude, right? Yeah. There's a lot of good openers out there.
Right.
And we disregard the economy, disregard what other people think. And you guys have always done that, including the formation here, right? Yeah. This isn't what other people think about when they build one of these.
Well, and you can say it's like when we built the stadium, as you said, for $1.2 billion. It was budgeted to be $650 million. We had gotten a referendum by the city of Arlington that was had passed, and the voters and the citizens of Arlington voted for that. And it was $325 million from the city, $325 million from the Cowboys and our family. and it was a $650 million budget. Now you can say, surely the Jones family and Jerry Jones is a better businessman than to miss the budget from the 650 to 1.2, double the budget.
Yeah.
And of course, what happened was, as we were having success selling the stadium, we were putting the money back into it because we knew what we said. We wanted it to be something unique, special. It's the home of the Dallas Cowboys. So fast forward, this opportunity here comes. And our family, and of course, you've got Jerry obviously making the final decision. Are we about to dance with the devil again? He said, I said I wouldn't have done that the second time. I'm sure not doing it a third time. And of course, everything, and he'll say this in public forums and speeches that he gives, because we said everything he had taught me, my brother, and my sister about a brand association and relationship with the Cowboys, all of the things we had been doing for 25 years as a family, what the opportunity to come up to North Texas and to come to Frisco, and we do a lot of real estate business up here, and so we knew the market. And this project might not work in certain other areas of even Dallas, Texas, which is one of the fastest growing cities in the country. Second, I guess now we're fourth only to New York, LA, and Chicago. We're the fourth biggest market at 7.5 million people. We knew the growth of that big market was right coming up this north tollway corridor into Frisco, because we had been doing real estate here. We knew if you associated with the brand, it could work. He was digesting it, and he's like, are we really, you know, he kind of made his run. He had done the team, and he'd built the stadium, and he was getting into his 70s. And I can tell you, he's still going strong. I don't know if you saw the New York Stock Exchange 10 days ago, but he was ringing the bell, and he's jumped back in the oil and gas business stronger than he's ever been. So his fuel's lit again, and the candle's burning. But he literally said, to give you an idea of the story, what I'm trying to say is, we did a partnership with John Schneider, the founder and CEO of Papa John's. And we've all seen those commercials, and John's real proud of himself being Papa John and all that. But we had tried to get right here in the local market Pizza Hut to be the official pizza of the Dallas Cowboys. And they'd done something at American Airlines Center, and we just couldn't get it going the way we wanted. So we went to Papa John's, and they said, well, you know what? We've got 80 franchises that are corporately owned. We hadn't franchised them out. They're a franchise model. But we got 80 corporately owned franchises. And they don't do bad. They don't do well. But they're all in that Dallas market, extending down almost to Waco, not quite to Austin. And they said, these stores, if you really think an association with the Cowboys can move the needle, why don't you become partners with us? We'll sell you a 50% interest in these stores. And of course, we digested and looked at that, and of course, we did it. And of course, since we've done it that day, over the last almost 10 years, those sales of those 40 stores, 80 stores, have gone from 40 million to 125 million. As you sit there and you can watch some commercials, Dad's breakdancing, doing some backflips, and somebody said, Jerry, why are you acting such a fool of doing some of those things? He said, when you own something, you'll do whatever it takes to win. So fast forward, John Schneider comes down.
That's so good.
He comes down. And every year, like you should, if you were giving money to a politician or doing something, you look him in the eye and say, here's your check. And so John comes down every quarter and brings that dividend of that partnership, and we'll do it in different places. So we're sitting over at Dad's house one time, and we're having a drink right there, and John's sitting there saying to Jerry, he said, you know, Jerry goes, I'm just love our relationship and our partnership. You believed in me before I was Papa John. Now, like a lot of successful people, I'm like, he's talking in third person like Deion Sanders.
You know,
like,
Ricky Henderson, Deion Sanders.
So he gets going on that, but he said, but you believe me? He goes, Jerry goes, you know, it seems like everything you do works. And Dad put up his hand and stopped him. And so he said, whoa. He said, John, you flatter me and you honor me. And he goes, I can tell you that's not necessarily the case. But what I have learned is throughout the last 30 years, every time that I do something and do it close in relationship with the Dallas Cowboys in that blue star and tap into that brand affinity, the more it creates an uneven playing field and allows me to have success that doesn't, and that other people don't have. And the further I get away from the synergies of a business decision or an opportunity relating to that brand, the more I become just like everybody else out there. And it's hard out there. So we have always tried to operate on synergies. And so as we sit here in formation, that's exactly what this is about. It's what the whole entire STAR is about. We think so much of what the stadium is about, and we call it the fastest hour in sports. And it's not the football game. It's the hour before kickoff. And if you saw our family down there on the sideline, and that sideline filled with not just fans, but clients and business opportunities, and we're shaking hands and having conversation, and that energy of the game, you can feel it building, and the players are warming up, and you can just tell we're all about to get game on, and it just makes for a great, easy conversation. As much as I think about that and how it helps our family and our Cowboy organization do business, that transcends almost in multiples over here. I think what we've done here at the STAR, and when you walk into our headquarters in that big atrium, and you're at the Dallas Cowboys World headquarters in a 400,000 square foot office building, and thinking, what all do you do to operate a football team to think you got this kind of 400,000 square foot building? And then you walk in and feel the things that we've done with the Omni Hotel, and Bob Rowland and his family, what we've done with Cowboy Fit and Mark Mastroff, and then Cowboys Club, which is a country club without a golf course, but you get to watch practice. And then you think about why formation. It all ties into the very thing that our family does, and that is leveraging these assets to do business. I think, boy, if I wasn't a Jones, or if I wasn't part of the Dallas Cowboys, and I just was Jerry out there trying to make a business, for $550, I'd buy that seat right there.
Oh, so
and I'd sit right there, and I'd make sure the client coming to see me walked through that elevator and saw this conference room and got to feel the excitement of the Cowboys, because it's an icebreaker of just, let's talk about that big win over the Redskins last weekend.
Emotional attachment, right? People
yes.
bond emotion for logical reasons.
Yes.
Another thing your father told me when I met him years ago,
yes.
don't forget, Dave, people bond emotion for logical reasons. Remember the STAR. Last question, because it's so important. So many, you're really supporting the future. I was joking around earlier that I think entrepreneurs are going to save the world, but I really do that we need, I work with SAP, for example, in their Innovation University, and they're having people read science fiction because our imaginations don't even reach as far as technology now. So we need to make sure we're stimulating this. This is a place for imagination, for support, for brand identity, for emotional attachment. What advice through all the mentorship you've had with your brothers, your sister, and your father, the community side of being a mentor yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, I know as a father yourself, your trophy room's filled with your kids' trophies from flag football to softball, et cetera.
You've done your homework.
Right? But what I really want that nugget. You have such great experience and perspective. You know, what career advice would you give to an entrepreneur that wants to work within the sports yeah. realm? Because it's so broad now.
Well, a couple things. One, I've just heard various times someone like Emmett Smith, when he signed one of his big contracts back in the day, and he said, you know, Jerry, I'm signing this contract, but one thing I'd like to do, can I just sit in your office one day and watch you do business and just listen to you? And I would say that here I have in my adult life, the last 30 years, gotten to be with my father every day, and here he is, a Hall of Famer related to the business sense of football. And I don't take one day of those for granted, that I'm getting to hear somebody who's a Warren Buffett or a Bill Gates or a Steve Jobs.
Yeah.
Because that's what he is. And I've learned so much from him. So any of my input on what someone should be doing, I can tell you, the material I got, it came from my father. And he tells the story all the time, which is what I would say is, he tells a story of a Howard Johnson's guy that owned a bunch of Howard Johnson's. And he asked him one time, he said, boy, that's great in hotel rooms. And how does that all that work? But he goes, I got a real big question. He goes, there's a diner at those Howard Johnson's. He goes, where do you find all those chefs to cook all that food? And how do you pull that off? And the guy said, well, I learned a long time ago, Jerry, when it came to hiring these chefs, that they say, if you want to serve something cold, serve it ice cold. Dry ice cold to the point it burns them. And it's supposed to be hot, burn the roof of their mouth with it. Intensity covers up a lot of frailties. And I would say that's how Jason Garrett coaches our team. That's how our organization operates. A intense desire to be driven to win on and off the field. And approach every day with that same intensity.
Well, that's amazing. I was sitting here watching you talk about your dad, thinking, you know, my four kids. I go, talk about a legacy. If I could just have, you know, when my son's, you know, turning 50, to talk about me that way would be incredible. I'm going to send this clip to your dad because I'm sure it's the biggest gift he could ever get, to see your complete sincerity of how much you respect, you know, what you all have built as a family, and especially what he has taught you to take it to the next level. Because you, I know you're humble, you've taken lessons from your father and what you've done in digital media and technology and entrepreneurship and also community, and that brand has only grown because you've learned. And it's true. I really want to thank you for taking the time. This, I don't need to wish any luck here, because the star and the formation and everything around us, from the retail to the office buildings to this, the mentorship, and you know, there's a lot of mentorship here as well. Besides, that seat's only $550. We'll have to buy a couple. You know, I'm not even a Cowboys fan. Can you believe that?
Have to be here.
But this is a place to do business, and I like to make money, help people, and have fun. Incredible.
Yes, sure. Enjoyed getting to visit with you.
Yeah, anytime. The incredible Jerry Jones Jr. with Dave Meltzer, Entrepreneur, The Playbook. Well, I hope you enjoyed this week's episode of The Playbook as much as me. On a personal note, I just wanted to thank everyone for making The Playbook such a success. Don't forget to continue it by sharing, subscribing, and listening to your favorite episodes. This is Dave Meltzer with The Playbook.